is covered up by the front benches as well. And I ask those brothers especially to move up so that others who are coming later will have ease in getting a seat. Our brother Bisley will be speaking to us this morning. I invite you to come up.
It certainly is a lovely morning. We say good morning to all. Both Alexia and I bring the greetings from our local assembly in Baldwin, New York, and we would certainly be happy to return your love and greetings as well. I feel somewhat commissioned, to bring also John's greetings, because he said maybe the Egyptian might forget. So there is double greetings to you from John, as brought by Emil and myself. Also, in the will of the Lord, as soon as we return home next Tuesday, I enter the hospital on Wednesday to go through surgery, a total replacement of a replaced knee. It's been an entire year and a half now that I've suffered after the first operation, and I must undergo another complete replacement on Wednesday next week. So we ask your prayers in a very special way. I would like you to turn with me to the verse we read yesterday in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 14. Verse 14 of Daniel 7, there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. Also, Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 1, verse 4, verse 6. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. Verse 4. Peter looking steadfastly upon him with John. Verse 6. But Peter said, silver and gold I have not, but what I have, this I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise up and walk. Having taken hold of him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones were made strong. And leaping up, he stood, walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I'm just going to use the verses that I've read as a springboard, and we will be referring to other scriptures by the help of the Spirit of God to address the subject matter that's before us, that has been put to me to bring this morning by the Spirit of God. We trust that there will be left an impress upon our hearts together as we explore the subjects of the kingdom. Subjects of the kingdom. We were reminded that the kingdom is a sphere of the king's rule. We saw the differentiation between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. One being profession, the other being reality. In Daniel, what we saw is that he has been given a kingdom, and all peoples, nations, and language should serve him. That God is going to bring in, as we have been emphasizing, this kingdom in which he's going to establish his rights in Christ. And he's going to secure things for himself. Things are presently in turmoil. Things are presently in disarray in this world. But it is God's tolerance at the moment, his long-suffering, his mercies, as he waits to bring in ultimately a scene of supreme delight when Christ will reign supremely. I gave us the verses in Acts for this reason. Because the pathway to the assembly is first strewn by the truth of the kingdom. The kingdom is an essential commodity to the enjoyment of the truth of the assembly. And in Acts 3, I think we see a pictorial view of that. Here is Peter and John. Peter, the kingdom, John, the family, going up at the hour of prayer, and they encounter this lame man. And who takes the initiative? Peter. The truth of the kingdom must be the pathway to the truth of the family, to the truth of the assembly. And the man there is found focusing on what Peter says. Silver and gold we have none, but such as we have we give to thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So here is the man who comes under the authority as a subject of the kingdom. He's a man who does what? We read in the verses, he's leaping. He stood up, he leaped, and he's praising God. What a response. It is a man who understands the authority of Christ. He's a man who comes under Romans 10 and 9, who understands the magnitude of lordship. And I believe that we need to be more emphatic in the gospel, that we bring persons to the place of the lordship of Christ. Because it's a matter of switching masters. The man who is under sin and the power of sin and the influence of Satan needs to break that cycle and come under the influence of Christ. I'm reminded of the Egyptian in 1 Samuel 30. He was found in the field after Ziklag was destroyed. They found an Egyptian. And he says, my master, when I fell sick, my master left me. He left me for dead. They asked him, can he tell them as to who did the destruction of Ziklag? He says to David, basically, if I tell you, are you going to put me back under my master? And David says, no. He wanted to make sure that he was now coming under the influence of David, no longer the influence of his old master. That's the truth in the gospel, that we bring persons from the power of Satan under the power of Christ, bringing them under the kingdom rights of Christ. And I believe that if we establish that more often in the gospel, as we preach it, what will happen is that there will be greater result in the lives of Christians in coming under the leadership submission of Christ. Hence, the subject before us. Someone who is a subject in the kingdom is one who comes under the authority of the king. One who understands the rights of the king. One who is prepared to bow to those rights and to submit one's self to his every wish and desire. There's a verse of scripture in Matthew 13:52. It says, every scribe discipled to the kingdom. Every scribe discipled to the kingdom. That is, as a disciple of the kingdom, you are a subject individual to the king. Every scribe under such discipline brings out of his treasure things old and new. It is expected that as subjects of the kingdom, we're going to have a treasure chest. A treasure chest containing the valuable things of the king. And we are prepared to bring them out one by one. The man we just saw in Acts had a response. We said he was leaping. He was walking, rather. He was leaping and praising God. Here was a beggar, a man who is seeking alms, unable to function physically, but the power of God's kingdom, the power of the kingdom of Christ, has liberated this man so that he is walking, he's leaping, he's praising God. These are the features that should be evident of those of us who are subjects to the kingdom. We are not half-dead people, but we are persons energized by the Spirit of God, energized by the purpose of our heavenly calling, called to be faithful to the one who has called us. Who's the one that has called us? Who's the king? I believe that we will duplicate from time to time some of the things that we've had already. But the Spirit of God will so do for the purpose of highlighting and enhancing the truth to our hearts. You know, whenever you find names double called in Scripture, Moses, Moses, Samuel, Samuel, there's a specific purpose. It isn't that God had nothing to say why he has to repeat things. But what he has to say, he wants it to register and settle with us. And so the repeat of some of the things that we had. We've looked at the king. We've looked at God's man. In Acts 2:36, we were reminded that God has made this same Jesus. Jesus, the humble Nazarene, the lowly Nazarene, the despised man, God has exalted him to the place of Lord and Christ. He has given him the highest place of honor. He has designated that all judgment is to be in the hand of the Son of Man. God is going to bring him in and establish him for his own purpose. In Ephesians 1, as we saw in verse 10, God intends to head up all things in Christ. In the very one whom he has made Lord, he's heading up everything in Christ. That is, God is not going to leave this world in disarray. Even though in the eternal state, he's going to bring in new heavens and new earth. But prior to that, he wants to put in a regulatory way the present earth that is in disarray. He's going to head things up in the blessed man, the man of his counsels that we sang in 423. He's going to establish him in his rightful place of supremacy. He's going to establish him in this very scene where he was rejected. Man tossed him out. We will not have this man to reign over us. As a matter of fact, the choice between this man was Barabbas. And the world said, give him to us. Give us Barabbas. The world has had Barabbas ever since. A thief, a robber, an insurrectionist, a murderer. And that's the condition in which we live. But God's intent in the creating of this scene and handing it into the hands of Adam and giving him dominion over all things in relation to his wife and giving him the world to administer, and there was abject failure because the serpent came in, beguiled the woman, and then the human race plunged into sin, absolute disarray. But you know, bless God, that the changes that took place do not thwart the purposes of God or the purpose of God. That God is going to see to it that in that coming day, Christ is going to head up all things. Philippians 2 tells us that God has highly exalted him. God has done so presently. I've said yesterday, I think, he is not waiting for the millennium to exalt him. That's a given. That's a reality. That's an unchanged condition. But he says, at the moment, while you wait for the millennial glory, I will give you glory right now. I will sit you down at my right hand. And that's what God has done. And it is to that right hand we look. And it is to him our praises we bring. Therefore, who are the subjects of the kingdom? We just saw the lame man taking the initial movement towards the kingdom. But I'd like to think of the kingdom, and I think it was mentioned, that there are two sides to the kingdom. There is the heavenly aspect of the kingdom, and then there is the earthly aspect of the kingdom. And just to think of those who would fit in to that, those two categories. You've got the Old Testament saints. You've got those who have come under the rights of Christ in the Old Testament, the rights of God. Then you've got the company, the assembly of which you and I are a part. We make up that wonderful, august vessel. A vessel foreknown in eternity, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, presently here, going all the way through to the eternal sea. So you've got the heavenly company, Old Testament saints, we being translated to glory via the rapture, will be those representing the heavenly side of the kingdom. But then you have those on earth. And I think of two companies. You've got the 144,000, 12,000 from every tribe, coming out of the tribulation period, with an innumerable company of Gentiles, having washed their robes and are made white and prepared to enter into the millennial kingdom on the earthly side of the spectrum. So there are those who are going to fill out God's kingdom. That God's going to have a kingdom that has persons in it, that has subjects in it, who come under his authority, who come under the rights of the king, who will be subjects in obedience to the king's dictates and rights. How do we enter the kingdom? It was alluded to. And just to emphasize it again, you get the two aspects in John's Gospel, chapter 3. We enter the kingdom through new birth. Nicodemus was told very clearly, except a man be born anew, you cannot see the kingdom of God first. Except you be born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So new birth is the pathway to the kingdom. What is new birth? I hasten to say that new birth very often is paralleled with salvation. But bear with me. New birth is a very distinctive process. It has nothing to do with you or me. If you read in verse 8 of chapter 3, the Lord Jesus says, "The wind blows where it will, and thou hearest its voice, but knowest not whence it comes and where it goes. Thus is everyone that is born of the Spirit." So it's a work of the Spirit. It's the impress of the Spirit of God as the impress that's put upon the camera, the film of the camera. The aperture is open, light comes in, the formation of the picture is impressed upon the film. And then there's the development of the film. There is the final product that leads on ultimately to being born of God. Salvation in its complete process. But here in new birth, it is the matter of entrance through the work of the Spirit of God. He and he only brings about this work. Except a man be born anew, he cannot enter the kingdom, or cannot see, rather, the kingdom of God. So seeing and then entering in by the moral effect, the water and the Spirit of God that actuates and effectuates a work in us, bringing us ultimately into the kingdom. Psalm 24 was read. And I just want to pull out one expression in Psalm 24, and that's the expression of a generation. Ere the gates are open to let the king in, the character of letting the king in is that there are those that are associated with the king. It says, "This is the generation of them that seek unto him that seek thy face." There is a generation that enters into the kingdom, that the king is pleased to have that progeny, as it were, that generation in association with himself. The king, and God will not have the king to be alone. He will have those in association with him as subjects in the kingdom. A generation. This generation has a very unique place. If you go back to Ephesians 1 and verse 6, the thought of being accepted in the beloved. It's Christ there in the assembly character, but the truth of being brought into the kingdom precedes the enjoyment of the assembly. The assembly is a place where the rights of Christ will also be known. But here we've been accepted in the beloved. We've been brought into a place of uniqueness, special favor. That's how we are also in the kingdom, as associated with the king. We have special place of honor given to us. The process takes place as to how the work of salvation, which began with the birth, the new birth, we have redemption. Not only accepted in the beloved, we have redemption. We have the forgiveness of sins. All these are essential features that govern also the kingdom. Because in the kingdom of God, as we said, where reality abounds, the process of the work of Christ, in having gone into death, brings us into a wonderful link with the King. Because the King is the one who was rejected, set at naught, who went into death, has come out victorious, and has with him that generation of persons who've been accepted and also sealed by the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 1 as well. It's a wonderful link that we have with divine persons. A wonderful link we have with the work of Christ. Colossians tells us, as we go back on the line of the kingdom, Colossians tells us that we have been translated. We were once under the kingdom of this world, the satanic influence. We were once under the kingdom in association with the first order of man. We have now been brought under the kingdom of the Son of His love. Colossians 1:13. Brought under the kingdom of the Son of His love. If we can appreciate, beloved, the Son of His love, then we will be able to appreciate our association with Him. The Son of His love is the unique Son, the only begotten Son, the one who is special to the heart of the Father. It is under His authority that we've come. That is, the glory of God has been opened up to us. And He has been opened up to us now as Father. Just as the Son is, so are we in relation to the Father. Nearer we could not be. For in the Son, we are as near as He. This is what translation has done for us. We are no longer under the kingdom of this world. We are under the kingdom of the Son of His love. So what regulates us then as those who are subjects of the King? The King Himself. The King Himself regulates us. I think of Joseph. Having interpreted the dream of Pharaoh, Joseph, remember, was forgotten in the prison by the butler. But now he's remembered when Pharaoh has a dream. The butler remembers his fault and informs the Pharaoh that there is a man. Bless God, there is a man. We know who that man is. Joseph is brought on the scene. Our true Joseph is the man. Joseph is brought on the scene. And Pharaoh, after he has the interpretation of his dream, exalts Joseph into the place of supremacy in Egypt. The place of honor. A place of distinction. He rides in the second chariot. He has his ring. He has all glory ascribed to him. He has all honor. And then you know what Pharaoh says? When any came to Pharaoh to ask anything about the famine, Pharaoh says, go to Joseph. Go to Joseph. That's the man himself. That's the one who's going to regulate all things in Egypt and throughout the entire world. So he is a wonderful type of Joseph, our true Joseph, who is going to regulate everything. God has said to us, go to Joseph.
go to Christ, the King himself. In John 18, the Lord Jesus, speaking of his kingdom, 18 verse 36, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." So here's a differentiation. We understand that the kingdom of which we are speaking is not of this world. It draws nothing from here, will draw nothing from here. It is going to be sustained from heaven, the sphere from which it operates. It's going to be operated by Christ himself. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Hence, beloved, we're going to come to some thoughts about this world. Because if he says it's not of this world, then we're going to ask ourselves some questions about our associations. Because we need to deal with our associations. If his kingdom is not of this world, it's because it comes under his authority, his rights, his lordship, his exercise. Everything comes under him and him alone. Which means we're going to have to stand under that authority and that lordship. We're going to have to confess his lordship. We mentioned Romans 10 and 9. Confessing him as Lord. Is he Lord of my life? Is he Lord of your life? That's where his authority comes in. His lordship means that he accesses every corner of my being. He's not Lord of Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. He is set aside, and Thursday, Friday, Saturday is mine. The expression is, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. The challenge is, as a subject in his kingdom, is his lordship being exercised in me, in you? As coming under his lordship, we are in pursuit of his interest. He has an interest on earth. His people are his interest. Those who are subjects in the kingdom are his interest. The assembly, that august vessel we said, is his prime interest here on earth. He has no other place in this earth, on this earth, in this world, than the assembly itself. No other interest. The world, as we said, have run him out. But there is a little company made up of individuals who have made him Lord, who've called him Lord, and who want his authority to be known with us. That's that little company of persons in whom he finds his pleasure and delight. And he's waiting for a coming day when he will have us exclusively for himself and with himself. If we're pursuing his interest, then what becomes of the interest here in this world? What happens with us in regard to this world's interest? I hasten to say immediately that it's not expected that we don't have houses and lands. It's not expected that we don't have an education. It's not expected that we don't do the normal things to care for ourselves here. Because it says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So the normal things of life are essential for our movement here in this scene. And God graciously has promised to supply all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. But we're talking about the things beyond the normal. We are talking about our investments in this world that rule out the King. We are talking about doing things in this life where He is not given the distinctive place of honor. We're talking about things that need to be changed with us. John 18:36, I referred to the first part. Let me give you the second part. My kingdom is not of this world. First part. My subjects will not fight. My subjects will not fight in this world. We talked about the pursuit, and I step a little bit, I know, on the toes of some, but we talked about the pursuit of persons in this world to set them up in places of authority through the process of voting. I take a very strong position on that, brethren. Very strong position. My citizenship is not here. It's above. You need to be a citizen to vote in this world. My citizenship is above. Hence, if I'm above, if I'm from above, if I already have the man in place who is going to exercise supremacy, authority, supreme rule, then I don't have to put another man in place. It's not my interest. We were reminded of Joseph, of Daniel. Persons whom God put into place, they never sought any kind of position. God placed them there. Nevertheless, the challenge to us is, what are my pursuits? What is my interest? Just simply, and again I say education has its place, but am I using my doctorate for the purpose of promoting myself? If I'm doing that, God grant that there might be an exercise in my heart to change that. Because when it comes to the things of God, we are on the level with God. There is no hierarchical system because you've got a better degree than I do. On God's strata, we remain before Him in the place of subjection. No distinctive honor. Do I use my vehicle to promote my interest? To show to the world how good I am? How I can buy the best? Is that my objective? As a subject in the kingdom, I'm to come under His authority, His lordship, and to bring everything that I have under that authority. Am I using my family to show off what a good family I have, better than yours? The challenge. So we are citizens from a different country. Heavenly men by birth. We seek not a place here in this world. If we are seeking a place in this world, then we have lost all sense of our citizenship. What are my associations? Because that's the idea of citizenship. It's conversation. It's a community. What are my associations? Young people, and I speak to myself as well. What kind of associations do we have in this world? Are we linked on to a system of things that's dishonoring to the name of the Lord, to our Lord and Savior? Am I compromising? Do I say, well, you know, the Lord understands. You know what the Lord understands? He understands I'm lawless. Am I bringing all that I have? My commonwealth is above. My citizenship is above. Am I walking in the light of heavenly gaze? If we are cognizant of coming under the heavenly light, that will have an effect. It will adjust me. It will leave an impress upon my heart. It will turn me around and make me more Christ-like in my features. It will not cause me to want to promote myself. And I say that with great care for us brethren, that, you know, we can have a lot that the Lord has given to us. How do I express what he's given to me? Do I show myself off as being a little bit above you, capable of doing things that you can't do? Oh, the solemnity of the place that we must walk with softness, even in our dealings with one another in regard to spiritual things. Oh, that we might keep company with one another who has no interest to promote save the interest of Christ. Knowing my citizenship, I move to the beat of a different drummer. I move to the beat of a different drummer. Or I move to the beat of a different drum. We are not in line with this world's concepts. We are to be in line with what is heavenly. While here, since we've talked about the matter of putting a man in place here, and it's not our right, we were reminded in several scriptures as to our responsibility to the authorities in this world. That's the only injunction that God by the Spirit has put upon us. The only injunction. He has not given us the injunction of making choices. He has given us the injunction of subjecting yourself to every institution of God, of man, for the Lord's sake. Subjection. That is, mention was made, the speed limit is 55. I am responsible to drive within that reason. We often violate it. There are other laws that have been given to us, and we are called upon to come under its authority. Even the law of going to school. At the age of 5, there is a law that children must go to school. And even if you're homeschooling them, that homeschooling is regulated by the authorities. So we must come under the authority as instituted, human institution, by man, yes, but we must obey it for the Lord's sake. 1 Peter 2:13 we looked at. Then in Romans 13:1-3, we're called to be subject to the authorities. And we qualify that by saying that if the authorities are asking us to do something against the lordship of Christ, then there is no question, is there, what the choice is. Remember Peter and John and those apostles, they were told, you're not going to speak in the name of that man called Jesus any longer. And what did they say? Oh yes, we're going to bow to you. No, absolutely not. We subject ourselves to the authorities in light of the authorities respecting our Lord. If they don't, we then cannot bow to them. We must bow to our Lord. So what is the responsibility of the subjects then in this world, besides all that we've had? We're going to suffer. We saw that yesterday. We're going to suffer. You're going to suffer in this world once you take a stand for Christ. I don't know, beloved, of any Christian who opens his mouth for Christ, who opens his mouth for the Lord, and the world garrisons around him and exalts him because he's doing a great thing. I appreciate what was said yesterday about the areas of the world, whether it's the Middle East, Africa, where we have been on several occasions, in places where brethren were put to death. I remember the first time I went to Ethiopia. There was a ruckus going on, an uproar in the towns at that time. And I was there alone. My wife was not with me. A lot of shooting. And right outside the meeting room the night, there was death and carnage. There were brethren in Ethiopia who died for the testimony, who suffered extremely for the testimony. We don't have it in this Western Hemisphere. We're excused. And yet, you know what? We don't appreciate the liberty that we have. It might be taken from us. Just to warm our hearts, beloved, that we might realize that if we suffer, he says, we're going to reign with him. We're going to reign with the Lord, the King. He's going to have us in association with himself, reigning in that glorious millennial day of blessing, when this vast universe will be blessed by the blessed God. It's wonderful, you know, when we think of the supper. You know the expression in the supper? This blood is the blood of the new covenant. You know why it's put there? So that we might be brought into some of the truth connected with the world to come. That the very cup that speaks of the death of Christ in his blood is what has inaugurated the scene of blessing for the millennial day. So at the supper, we're able to taste the joys of the world to come. That is what the cup introduces us to. That there is the world to come in which he, the King, says, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until I do so in the coming glorious kingdom. He's looking forward to it, and at the supper, we can look forward to that day of millennial glory when he will bless. He will pour out. He will be the true Joseph dominating the scene. He will bless abundantly. He says, we'll reign with him. He told the overcomer in Laodicea, you know, chapter 3, verse 21. You're going to sit with me on my throne. What a place of nearness for the overcomer. You're going to sit with me on my throne. You remember the two sons of Zebedee? Their mother says, you know, I want one on the right hand and one on the other. He says, it's not mine to give. It's the Father's choice to make. But he wants to have us sit with him in his throne because we are going to administer with him. We are going to administrate the world to come with him. From the heavenly side of things, the church, in association with the Old Testament saints, will administer from that realm with him in that coming glorious day. Do you know we're going to judge the world?
We're going to judge angels, 1 Corinthians 6. So why are we going to the earthly authorities, taking one another into places? Because we want our rights. We were reminded we have no rights. The only right is to be under his authority. We're going to administrate the world to come. Unfortunately, the Corinthian saints had already begun to reign. Paul says, you're reigning without us. Who gave you that distinctive place to reign? The coming glorious kingdom has not yet been inaugurated, but yet you are setting yourselves up as kings, as persons in association with the authority of Christ. Well, it is not the time for reigning. It's the time for suffering. But out of suffering will come the glorious realization that we are going to be associated with him. When he takes the world up and he plants his foot on the Mount of Olives, and every knee on earth bows to him, and every tongue confesses him as Lord to the glory of God. What a day that will be. We wait for that millennial day. I said yesterday that the next thing on God's program is the appearing of Christ. It's not the rapture. It's the appearing of Christ. But the rapture is what gets us there. We wait and we say, come, Lord Jesus. It's time to take up your place in this world. It's time to exercise your authority. It's time to exercise your supremacy. It is time. This world is ripe for it. The evil is so intense. It's getting worse and worse. I cannot imagine how much worse it will be should there be a further delay. You know, we're told in Peter that we can hasten the day of God. The day of God is the eternal day when heavens, new heavens and new earth are brought in. But even now, we can pray and hasten on that day. So if we can hasten on the day of God, we can also hasten on the millennial day. We can also hasten on the rapture. But we hasten it by our behavior, our deportment, our longing, our yearning for him to take his place, his rightful place. It belongs to him. God says he will get it. We are certain about that, but we just want him to do it as quickly as possible. May our hearts be encouraged as we look forward for that which is before us, the eternal scene of glory, where the many sons will be brought into the Father's house. And oh, the contentment of the Father's heart. He's going to look upon the many sons, and he's going to see the complete reflection of the Son. Mr. Darby says, is this the grace which he for us has won? Father of glory, thought beyond all thought. May our hearts be encouraged for his name's sake.